I wasn't going to say this morning, but now I'm going to say it because Elizabeth chose this passage. I was going to say it on Friday, but I'm going to say this now. That is this. Did you hear this verse that we read when Elizabeth's opening in Psalm 34? It says, verse 8, you don't need to go there. I'm just going to say it for you and then I'll explain it. That is, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Let me give you another way to say that. Jesus is delicious. Taste and see that the Lord is good. At AIF, we believe that. We believe Jesus is delicious. We believe He is good. We believe to experience Jesus is good. And I was reading in devotions this morning in a passage that talks about how speaking with understanding is helpful to people. Explaining things about God is a good thing. It's a loving thing to do. So what we want to do at AIF on Sunday mornings, Friday evenings, and every other time is we want to explain why we think that Jesus is delicious. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about some of the foundational, the basic truth of the Bible that helps us understand why Jesus is delicious. In America, we have this thing that we do sometimes. If you have some good news and bad news, you'll come up to somebody and you'll say, "I've got some good news and I've got some bad news." And then you will usually ask the question, which do you want first, the good news or the bad news? Well, the Bible is a lot like that. The basic outline of the Bible is that the first part, there is good news, but then there's some bad news, but then there's even better news or great news. And usually you ask, which order do you want it in? In the Bible, it actually comes in this order, so we can't ask that question. We've got to take it in the order of the Bible. But it goes, the Bible is a good news, bad news, great news book. It's good news, bad news, and great news. Today, we're going to focus primarily on the good news at the beginning. Because there's some really good news in there for you if you struggle with who you are and what does it mean to be a human being and what's my purpose, if you feel lost. The Bible gives some news, some information, some truth that will give your life a solid foundation, a solid place to stand. And so it's good news. And we're going to look at that the most this morning. The bad news then shakes that foundation. But the good news is that God hasn't left us with a shaken foundation, but that He has provided a way to restore that foundation. So it's good news, bad news, great news. I'm just going to give a summary of that at first, big picture of all those newses, and then we're going to look at some verses related to the first good news. Okay, so the first good news comes from Genesis chapters 1 and 2, the very first part of the Bible. And the good news is that God created everything, and He created human beings in His own image. And God said that everything that He created, including the human beings, when He looked back on everything, He looked at it and He said, "This is very good." And all along the way, every time He created something, after every day, He would look back and He would see that it was good. He would see that it was good. He would see that it was good. So that means that the evil that we see in the world every day when we read it in the newspaper isn't the way things started. The world hasn't always been evil. And the world does not have evil at the center of the world. What's at the center of the world is God. And God is good. So that's good news, because that means we're not trapped in evil. That means That means evil is not all there is. That means the story in France about people being shot is not what the world is about. What's at the center of the world, the center of the universe, is God. And God is good. And that's good news. And it's good news that you and I, every human being sitting in here, and every human being out there in the world, has been created in His image. And then that image, God said, is very good. When He says that we were created in His image, it means we were created like to be like God and to be His representatives. We'll get into that some more. But just want you to know that the good news initially is that God created everything good, and He created us in His image, and He created us. Human beings were created originally to be good. That's the good news. The bad news comes in Genesis chapter 3, which is the next chapter. You may know the story. Adam and Eve are in the garden. They've been given, God gave Adam and Eve the whole garden to eat fruit from every tree in the garden, showing His generosity, but He said there's one tree. There's one tree you can't have fruit from. And it's the tree of knowledge of independence. It's the tree that if you eat from this fruit, you will declare your independence from me. You will basically become rebellious. And if you eat it, you will surely die. And you know the story. The serpent comes into the garden, talks to the man and woman, says, "Doesn't that fruit look good? God's not too cool. He's keeping something from you. You ought to try that fruit over there that He said you can't have." And Eve looks at it, says, "That looks pretty good." And Adam, who should have stopped her, says, "I think they all have some too." And so they eat the fruit, and the world plunged into the situation that we have now. The Bible says that all have sinned against God and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's bad news, because that explains the evil in the world. That Adam and Eve ate the fruit, and that opened the door for Satan to come in and become the ruler of this world. The Bible says in a couple different places that he is the ruler of this world. Jesus said it, says it in 1 John. And we are now, instead of being on the top of creation under God, now we are under Satan's rule. We are under an evil ruler, an evil tyrant, and that's bad news. And so because of our sin, because we rebelled against God, we opened up the world to evil. And it continues on. But God didn't leave us there. There's, like I said, there's good news, but then there's bad news. But now there's great news. The great news is that God didn't leave the world in this place, but He had a plan all along to rescue the world from this bad news. And the plan involved God Himself becoming a man in the person of Jesus, dying on a cross for the penalty of the sins that we commit and that Adam and Eve committed. He paid the price for the crimes that we committed against God, for the sins that we committed against God, for the wrong things that we did. God paid the price, died on a cross, rose from the dead, and now He ascended into heaven, and He is sitting on the right hand of God. And Jesus, from there, is now ruling the world, and He calls people to Himself. He invites people to come be a part of His kingdom. And when you become a part of His kingdom, you are no longer under the rule of Satan, but now you've been restored to the original rule that we have as created in the image of God. And God says, one day we are going to rule the world in Jesus, under Jesus, as kings and queens. And so, and the world is going to be restored to its original goodness, perhaps even better than it was before. And that's great news. So that right there is a summary. If you want to know what the Bible's about, that's just a summary of it. Now there's a lot more to fill in the parts, but that's summary of the Bible. There's good news. We're created in God's image. There's bad news. We have fallen into sin. The good news is God has acted in Jesus to restore us to the, our original relationship with God and our original position in, as in creation. So, I would like to look at three different verses where we see this original good news spoken about. Because all of our who we are as human beings in the Bible comes down to this particular truth that we are created in the image of God. So I want to show you in the Bible where it says that. I want to show you three places where it talks about people being created. The first place is in Genesis chapter 1. And I believe it's on page 1. You want to go to page, I believe it's page 1. It's the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. And it is page 1. Everybody there? Does she need a Bible? We got in that. Yeah. And we're going to look at verses 26 and 27. Everybody see verses 26 and 27? Okay. This is the sixth day of creation. God's been creating everything, and this is on the sixth and final day that he creates. And this is about his creating human beings. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So there, God creates human beings, and it's the only part of creation, it says, that was created in God's image. Nothing else in creation. Not the angels, not the animals, only human beings were created in God's image. This right here, if you want to know what's significant about a human being, the Bible says the significance is related to God. We have been created in God's image to have representation, to represent God on earth. And that means, if you look here, it says, and he let them have, in verse 26, it says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock. That word dominion, do you see the word dominion? That word is used in other places to speak of kings and queens. That, in other words, it's the idea of human beings have been given, because of their likeness to God, we have been given the rule and the reign to have authority over every other part of creation. We are created to be the rulers of creation, and all the other works of God, all the animals, all the in the sea, under the sea, every part of creation is under the rule, is intended by God to be under the rule of human beings. We are created in the image of God, and we have dominion. And that's very important to understand what a human being is. We are not dust in the wind. We are not insignificant. God has placed tremendous, great importance on human beings because he has placed his very image on us and given us underneath his rule. We're to be rule underneath him. That's the order. So that's part of the good news. Let's look at another passage that says a similar thing. Go to the middle of the Bible. Psalm chapter 8, and I'm going to give you a page number in a minute. We're going to page 450, page 450. Everybody there? Page 450. And you see Psalm 8, and we'll go to verse 5, and he's talking about human beings. In verse 4, he asks the question, "What is man, what's a human being, that you are mindful of him, the son of man, that you care for him?" Why do you care for these little human beings? He's talking to God. Why do you care about human beings? And he's talking about how small they are in the universe. And then it talks about what God did. Verse 5, it says, "Yet you," and that "you" refers to God, "you have made him," a little lower than the heavenly beings, and have crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion, there's that word again, over the work of your hand, works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. So notice what it says here. You have made him. That him refers to all human beings. It's a reference to all men and women, all humans. You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. Now that word, heavenly beings, there's a lot of debate about what that word means, because it's actually the word that means, that is translated in many places to be God. It's the word Elohim. And Elohim is the Hebrew equivalent of the word God in English. So heavenly beings could be translated, and I think it should be translated, you have made him a little lower than God. It could be angels, but that's another. It could be, that's what heavenly beings are. That's a debate. But I do believe the best translation of the Hebrew here is God. So he's talking about being made in the image of God. That there's God, and then under God, there are human beings who have dominion over the rest of the earth. It's the same idea as in Genesis 1:26. God has created human beings, put his image on us, and made us a little lower than himself. And it says that God has crowned him with glory and honor. That God is a king who is full of glory, but he has shared that glory with people who he made in his image. And so we have been created in the image of God, underneath God, and God has shared with us his glory. He has put his beauty, his excellence in us. That was our original design and intent. And he has given us dominion over the works of his hands and put all things under his feet, under man's feet, our feet. So there it is again. There's that idea. So what's a human being? A human being is a creation of God that has been created in his image to be representatives of God and have dominion over the earth. That's what a human being is. Let's go one more passage. And then we're going to do something with these passages. Go to Psalm 139. That's on page 521. 521. If I actually go to 522. We're in it's Psalm chapter 139, and we're going to go to verse 14. This is a psalm in which the writer, who is David, is talking about how great God is and the great things that he has done, and the fact that wherever he goes, there God is, and God knows everything, and God's everywhere. But then he talks about how God created him, and he says something remarkable about that. In verse 14, he says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." That's all I want to look at right there. Does everybody see that? Verse 14. Got it? Everybody there? You there? Okay. This is David talking to God. He says, "I praise you because I am fearfully," or we could say awesome, "and wonderfully made." Wonderfully means really, 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 really good. Really, really, really beautiful. Because, why? Because created in the image of God, I think. This is based on that idea that God has created David in his image. So, that is a reason for David to give praise and worship to God. God, he's saying, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So, the good news, stated here in three different ways in three different passages at the very beginning, is that God has created human beings in his image, and he's created us to have dominion, and it's a reason to give praise and thanks to God. In other words, we can see ourselves, look at ourselves, and say, wow, look what God has done. God has created me in His image. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Sometimes, if people have suffered maybe abuse from people, and you start getting a message, someone says, you're no good. You're worthless. You'll never amount to anything. Sometimes the enemy can start throwing things, Satan, the devil can start throwing those kind of things at you. You're worthless. You would have no value to God. Sometimes we start to believe things like that for no particular reason. But the Bible says differently. The Bible says, no, God created you. You are not meaningless. You're not purposeless. You're not valueless. Because you've been created in God's image, you have value, and you can say, thanks be to God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, it can be hard to believe that sometimes if you've kind of beat yourself up in your head a lot. Maybe people have said bad stuff to you, and it's hard to believe it. It's hard to hear it, and you go, I have a hard time believing that. Even if you're a Christian, even if you believe the Bible. So what I thought we would do is, I thought you'd help me preach this morning. There are three statements here that I've written based on these verses that we're going to break up into groups, and we're going to say these things to each other. Let me get one for myself and take one and pass them around. Should be enough. We're going to do this because it's one thing to hear general statements in the Bible and think, oh yeah, that's generally true. It's another thing to hear someone say it to you about you. So we're taking this and we're personalizing it. So look at number one. That little blank is for your name, okay? So if I was talking to Handi, and I was going to say this to Handi, I would say, Handi, God created you in His image and has given you dominion over all His works. Handi, God has made you a little lower than God and crowned you with glory and honor. Handi, I praise God because you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Now there was a movie a while back. I would love to show the video, but there's bad language in it and quite a bit, so I thought it wouldn't be appropriate for church. But it's a great concept in it. The movie is called Good Will Hunting. Anybody ever seen it? Good Will Hunting? Robin Williams and I can't remember who the other guy is, the young guy. And the young guy had been abused by someone in his family. And Robin Williams was a counselor. He was a psychologist. And they're having this session talking about all of his abuse that he's gone through in his life. And Robin Williams starts talking to him and he says, you know all these things that you've been through. He goes, they're not your fault. And the other guy goes, yeah, I know. I'm cool. He goes, and then Robin Williams goes, no, you don't understand. They're not your fault. And he goes, yeah, I know. He goes, you're not, and then Robin Williams gets closer. He goes, they're not your fault. He goes, and then the guy goes, man, quit messing with me. Quit messing with me. He goes, they're not your fault. And he just keeps pressing that. And all of a sudden, the guy's like weeping because Robin Williams had pressed through to something for him to get him to believe something and see something at another level. The guy believed it here, but he didn't believe it here. He believed, yeah, I know it's not my fault, but in his heart, he somehow blamed himself for all his abuse. So Robin Williams pushed in to get him to believe it. So, taking that same idea, here's what we're going to do with these statements. We're going to break up into twos and one group of three, because I think we have odds here. And we're going to say this to each other about 10 or 12 times, so that we can hear it. And it may be difficult to do it, but I encourage you to press through and do it, because I think... Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I think there's something about hearing truth over and over and over again, to say that to each other at least 10 times. And say it like, so we're going to pair up Elizabeth and Miriam. Those are going to be one pair. So Elizabeth is going to say that to Miriam 10 times. And then Miriam is going to turn around and say it to Elizabeth 10 times. In other words, don't go back and forth. Say it over and over again until you're done talking to her, and then switch the roles and go the other way. Okay, does that make sense? And so I'm just going to take these statements and put that person's name in. So when Elizabeth is talking to Miriam, he says, Miriam, God created you in his image and has given you dominion over all his works. So, and say the name every time. Because I think it's important that we hear that this is not just general truth that we read in the Bible, but this truth actually relates to me and to you individually. Sujin, you have been created in the image of God and have been given dominion over his works. That we hear that message and not just in general that mankind. You are mankind. You are humankind. This applies to you and this applies to me. And I think I want us to hear that this morning. So we're going to do that. And then when we do that, we're going to be done. And we're going to have lunch. And we're gonna do whatever we do at lunch. So does everybody understand what you're doing? Yeah. Oh, okay. We got to be on recording. The verses for number one, I'll read number one and I'll read the verses just so that people can know. God created you in his image and has given you dominion over all of his works. Genesis 1, 26 through 28, Psalm 8, 6. Number two, God has made you a little lower than God and crowned you with glory and honor. Psalm 8, 5. Number three, I praise God because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, 14. So each one of those statements is based on those verses. We're basically speaking biblical truth and applying it to us personally and pressing it into our souls. We're going to squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it until we can get life out of it. So why don't we pray, and then I will I got pairings in mind, so we'll do that. Father, I pray that you would help us have a heart of worship and give you thanks because you have created us in your image, and that what you have done is fearful and wonderful, and we can praise you and give you thanks because of that. We say thanks be to God for creating us. In Jesus' name, amen.